give you our strength. Our bodies, our resources, our families, our stuff. Lord, we're here because your name is Jesus. And we love you. Lord, we want to just say it's such a privilege. Such a privilege to be able to worship you in the ways we do. Together like this. What an amazing thing, God. There's nothing else like the church on this earth. So thank you for your presence. Thank you for encouraging us and maybe challenging us already. Thank you that you're faithful. And we love you, God. Lord, just as we look at your word now, your word is living and active and useful to train us up and to correct us and to rebuke us even. Lord, it's not just a book. It's not just words on a page. It's the word is living and active. And we want to just ask, as your word comes, Lord, that whatever is not of you, Lord, that it'll fall and die and it won't mean a thing, Lord. But when you do speak, Lord, that it'll just impact our hearts and our minds and our lives in such a way that we'll be changed. Not because of anything that we can do, but because you change us from the inside out. And so, yeah, Lord, we want to ask right now that your word will just be so alive to us tonight. That you will break our religious systems down. That your, Lord, that our preconceived ideas of you and how you should move and work, Lord, that those things will die. Lord, you will shine through. And so we thank you for these moments, God. Amazing King. Amazing King. You guys are going to sing that last song, but it was such a cool segue into why can we say, God, I'm here for you, have your way in me. And it's so cool. That's what I want to actually talk about tonight. Why can we say that about the God we serve? And so I want to talk about holiness tonight, because that's the reason why. And then it was quiet. No, it's cool. Thank you. Come relax. You guys have worked so hard tonight already. Yeah. Come and enjoy the so lekker. So holiness is something that if we can understand holiness, we kind of understand a little bit of who God is, and that'll actually, like all the words that came through, the healing, getting excited about his kingdom and his church will actually click. Because holiness is something that separates God from everything else on this earth. And so holiness is a big deal. The Hebrew word for holy means to basically to cut or to be separate. It's like if you dumb it down, the word, it's to cut. And I want to look at that tonight. And holiness, I believe, has three aspects to it. And through the preacher, we're going to look at those three aspects and hopefully we'll find it relevant for us tonight. So, the cutting, but there's two parts to this cutting. First thing is, it's a separate part. It's like holiness. So when we say holy, holy, holy is our Lord God Almighty, what we are saying is, and that's the word of God. So when we sing it, we're saying, God, you are separate. There is no one else like you. There's no other being like you. And I've been listening to some guys on YouTube, some of these clever guys. They're really clever guys, like really, really clever guys. But they're really dumb, clever guys. And I was listening to some atheists debating the other day, and I was thinking to myself, it takes more faith to believe that all of what we see and experience on this earth, and if we look at our bodies, even the simple cell isn't simple anymore. As technology has grown, the simple cell is no longer simple. It's actually quite complex. And I was thinking, it takes more faith for some guy to believe that this came out of nothing, like a, and then it was just like a dripping water, and then on a rock, and then the rock turned into algae, and then algae turned into a little tadpole thing, and then that tadpole thing came out of the thing like a half a lizard thing, and then it takes more brain power and faith to get there than to say there is a being and his name is Yahweh and he is different to every other being, and he always existed, and because he always existed, he is holy and separated, and there's nothing else like earth. And when he just decided one day that he wanted to create the universe, he said, "Let it be," and it was. It takes less faith for me to believe that. I don't know, maybe it's just me. And so holiness is separation. Our God, the God that I serve, I don't know about the God that you serve, but I'm going to talk from my perspective. The God that I serve is holy. He cannot sin. He has never sinned. Every decision he has made throughout history is absolutely righteous and full of love and compassion. And you might be thinking, but hold on, Brett, hold on. Why do good things happen to bad people? No, the other way around. Why do bad things happen to good people? You see, dyslexic brain. Look. Or what about all the wars? Or what about all the things? Or what about that? That's God didn't. You know why we get sick? Not because God is a bad God, because there's sin in the world. Thank you. Why we have strife in this thing is because Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. And they messed up something perfect that the holy God had created. Not because God is a bad God. Not because he's not loving. It's because we live in a fallen world. And our bodies are fallen with the fallen world. And our souls have been separated from God. And we're fighting to be separated from him every single day again. Thank you. Sure. I think that's a good sure. Hey? So God is separate. He's different. He has no equal. So let me read you a scripture just to illustrate this part. Acts 17, 23 to 25. I love this. Paul's walking around and he's checking out the pagan gods and he's doing his thing and he's being Paul. And he says this, "For I've passed along and observed the objects of your worship. I found also an altar with the inscription to the unknown God." And so you know the Hindus, I grew up in Durban, so we came across a lot of Hindus. They actually have got like 10,000 gods or something like that. And there is, it's so funny, they still have a god called the unknown god. It's quite crazy. So we try to use that as an evangelism kind of way to get into them, but they didn't really, it was hard. But we tried. Anyways, "What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heavens and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he has in need of anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything in it." What is Paul saying there? Paul is saying this, that the unknown God that they think they're worshiping is actually the true God who is separated from everything else. He is the Holy One. See, that's my God. Is that your God? Yes. Wow. Out. No, just kidding. So think about that. Like he's looking around, he's checking, and like I'm looking at people, and people are serving a lot of other things, not God. Serving money, serving sports, serving whatever, serving each other. Sometimes relationships can be a thing of worship. And I love this. It's like God is totally cut off, separate from everything. The other thing that Acts 17 tells us is, and I love this, it says, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by man's hands
as though he needed anything. You know what that says to me? The second thing of holiness is, first of all, he's separated, he's awesome in every way. He cannot be faulted, ever. The second thing is, he is absolutely self-sustained in who he is in himself. Okay, does it make sense? So, he doesn't need our prayers. He doesn't need our singing. He doesn't need Brett's preach tonight. He doesn't need it. The fact that he wants it is another whole story, but he doesn't need us to make him feel any more awesome because he's holy, right? Like, and we think we're working so hard for the God because it's going to make a difference for him. No, he doesn't. No. I don't think we understand holiness then. Am I blowing someone's brains here, at least, or something? I know it's not, like maybe I went too fast too quickly, but we get the stuff mixed up. He doesn't. He wants us. He does want us. He wants us to use our gifts and talents, but he doesn't need it because he's God. Just think about that. It's like that's holiness. It's holiness. It's crazy. So I'm going to jump ahead. I got excited there. Then, so what does holiness mean? It means this. It means to be in a class of your own. It means to be distinct from everything that has ever existed or will exist. So the God I serve is totally distinct. There's no one like him. So you know Marvel movies and like, you know, like Captain America and what those other guys called? Hulk. That's DC, isn't it? No, that's Marvel. My bad. So test, and I failed. I don't know, but I don't really watch those movies. But I mean, I was just thinking about them now. So what our culture is teaching us is this. That you have a good guy. Say the Hulk is a good guy. Well, I don't know if he is a good guy. Let's take Captain America. He's more good. You know what I mean? Like, he's like cut and dry. So you have Captain America, and then you have like Thanos. I think he's a bad guy. And our world is teaching us that there's a good guy and a bad guy, and they're almost equally matched. And who's going to win? Is it going to be Captain America? Is it going to be Thanos? Is it going to be Captain America? Are they going to get the things out of his little glove thing? And then if they do, they're going to win. And our minds are like wired to, like, there's a good guy and a bad guy, and who's going to win? When it comes to God, it's God. And then everything else. It's not Jesus coming against the devil and he's trying to fight him and who's going to win. No, Jesus has already won the battle. He is overcome. It's Jesus alone. And then a big gap, a massive gap, and then everything else underneath them. It's not equal forces. It's one massive force. Am I getting too excited? I don't know. Like that's holiness. I think it's good. I don't know. It just came out of my brain now. Like, I'm trying to figure it out for myself. But if we see Jesus as, oh, maybe he'll win today, maybe he won't win today, or maybe the devil's got... Devil is powerful. Don't get me wrong. I've seen him do crazy stuff. But he's not as powerful as the God I serve. So he can manipulate, and he can torment, and he can make you afraid, and he can even maybe bring some type of physical... stuff. But if you read the book of Job, he's on a leash. He's like a dog on a leash. He's like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And God, or he actually doesn't have the decision because he's not holy. God is holy. See, that's a God I serve. So when I hear someone's ears are popped open by themselves in worship, that is holy God moving miracles in people's ears. When I hear of salvations and people coming back to the Lord, and this young man giving up gaming this week, how kiff is that? Am I allowed to say it? I did it. Sorry, my bad. I should have maybe asked you. From last week, was awesome. Natalie did, through God, still thinking on that. Like, from that, this young man's like, no, I need to change the game. Donnie, welcome. So we try to wait. But they were starting to throw things at me, bro. And then I just decided to keep on going. And so out of last week, he's going, man, I need to get my life sorted out. I want my life to count. Because my God is a holy God. And so what he, like he, I said to him, maybe easy this week. I just said, take it easy. Don't just delete all your games in one. Just take it easy. And then yesterday, or no, before yesterday, he's like, Brett, I can't do the whole take it slow thing. I'm just going to get rid of everything. I was like, whoa, good luck, bro. I'm like praying for him. Because of holy, like, because he's seeing God, like God's different. So first two things about holiness, and they got to do with God. He's absolutely awesome in every way. Unable to make a mistake, unable, he's totally separated from sin. Every decision he's made is perfect. He's never sinned. He's awesome. Second thing is, he doesn't need us. He doesn't need anything. He, in himself, is self-sustaining. What that means is this. In his holiness, he is just and full of love and full of mercy and full of power and sovereign and wisdom and patience. And even in his holiness, he gets angry and he shows grace and he's faithful and he's compassionate. And in his holiness, he's also holy. You see, he's not firstly a God of love. He's firstly a God of holiness. And out of holiness, everything else that is his attributes come out. So holiness is awesome. And then it gets to us. What does holiness mean to us? Because there's a very scary scripture that I need to try find. Did I have it here? Thank you. Well, the Lord can do it, I'm sure. 1 Peter 1:13. Sorry, I'm jumping around my notes because I'm all over the place. Says this. Therefore, prepare your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as obedient children, do not conform to the passions of your former ignorance, but he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. So this is a big deal for us. The holy God that we serve, that is totally separated from everything that's sinful and totally self-sufficient in himself, what does he say to us? Be holy as he is holy. So holiness for us means this, it's a commissioning. And we see this in the life of Moses. Exodus 3 verses 4 to 11. Can we just read this? I know it's a little bit, let's just read this together quickly. You'll see what something cool here. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush. Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. So let me just, I'm jumping ahead. So like Moses was born in Egypt, killed somebody, ran away, was a shepherd for 40 years. And in this 40 years, right towards the end, God reveals himself in a burning bush. You know the story. I just wanted to remind for those who might not know. And so out of this burning bush, it's actually God's presence. And he calls him. It's beautiful. Let's go. And he says, here I am. It must have been quite scary. I would have been scared. Then he said, do not come near. Take off your sandals, off your feet, for this place on which you're standing is holy ground. Why? Because God's presence is there. And so now, I believe Moses knew God, but in this moment, he knew God differently, personally. Something's changing. Something's going to shift. And I think that's a good point to make here. We might know God, but do you know God? Because there's moments of holiness that he's bringing into our everyday life. And if we skim over them, we're going to miss it. Anyways, let's carry on. And he said, I am the God of your father, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their transgressions. I know their suffering. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to good and broad land, land flowing with milk and honey, the place where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, that was a mouthful, And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel have come to me, and I've also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, or the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let's just pause there quickly before we go to the next verse. And so, when we encounter this holy God, what happens is we become like him. And when we become like him, he says there's stuff to do now. That might be being a good husband or a good wife. For the young ones, it might be honoring our mom and dad. For some, it might be praying for somebody that we don't know. Or whatever it might look like. But out of the center of our personal relation with him, he's calling us to live for him and with him. But then we do this that Moses does. Check this thing out. So this is beautiful calling. And verse 12, I think it is. Or 9. Let's go. Let me just look here quick. All right. Where are we now? Hold on. 11. But Moses said to God, yeah, this is it. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So this is quite interesting. So this holy God just impacted this man. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth, after seeing God in a bush, him speaking to him face to face, commissioning him, he goes, he makes an excuse. Who am I, God? They're not going to listen to me. I want to do this. See, holiness is going back to the two points of who God is. If we are called to be holy and we take the commission that he's given us, what needs to happen is this. We need to be separated from sin first in our lives and everything that can stop us, just as he is. And Abby brought a word earlier about she saw a picture of a hospital. And who was the guy? Florence Nightingale. They're having problems with infections, if I remember correctly. And the doctors were doing great work, but people kept on dying. They did life-changing surgeries and all of those kind of things, but people kept on dying. And they realized because they weren't cleaning the hospital, the infections weren't coming from the good hands of the doctor. They were coming from the infections in the hospital. And so once they figured out that they needed to sterilize things, true healing and life came out of that. And that's the same thing about holiness for us. If sin's in our lives, there's a quote from that I put in here from R.C. Sproul. It says, every sin is an act of cosmic treason, a futile attempt to dethrone God in his sovereign authority. So every time, you know what treason is? Treason is trying to overthrow the government. So this is quite hectic. Every time we sin, it's an act of treason towards God in heaven. We try to dethrone his holiness and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection. And so, holiness for us means this. When he calls us, when he commissions us, when he goes, hey, salvation is for you. You need to be holy as I am holy. What he's saying is you've got to clean the house every day. Think about it. Hospitals get cleaned every operation, actually. And the second thing is this. Remember, God is self-sufficient in himself. He doesn't need anything. We need to find our sufficiency in him and him alone. See, that's what makes us holy. It can't be in sport or relationships or money or fashion or food or whatever that vice is for you. We have to find our sufficiency in God alone. We have to be fine. Like, I love that testimony in the finance thing. It's like, Jesus is my CEO. I don't need the flashy cars. I don't need the flashy thing. He is enough. See, that's holiness. Oh. Has it been too heavy? Sorry. Like, it feels like we've lost some momentum or something. So that's the God I serve. Like, he's holy. And he calls us to be holy as he is holy. And when we understand that for ourselves, everything changes. Because it doesn't really matter what you look like or how you dress or how eloquent you can speak or how gifted you think you are. It's actually not about that. It's about him being holy through us so that we can see a dying world that is in desperate need of him. Holiness is everything, actually. It is. And so I suppose the only thing that's left to say is this. Do you believe him? That he is who he says he is, as the scripture says. And if you do, are you willing to become holy as he is holy? And that doesn't mean we're not going to have issues and problems and we're not going to mess up. Please, this Christian thing is an impossible task without the Spirit of God living in us. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. I'm saying we need to strive for it, though. And you might be going, but strife is a bad word, Brett. Yeah. And maybe in our day and age it is. But Hebrews 12:14 says this. This is how we become holy. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. So Paul writes to the Hebrews, strive for holiness. And I know, striving is bad in the Christian church. You can't strive because if you strive, it's self and it's flesh. Yes, it could be. But striving basically means this, to do something with an intense effort towards a goal. So in other words, with an intense effort towards becoming as God would want us to become, like him, do it. That's striving for holiness. That's beautiful. That's finding time in the Word, finding time in prayer, finding time to encourage each other, finding time to chastise yourself. God, why? I mean, Abby's very good at this. She does this to me a lot. She's like, Brett, what you did there was not the Lord. Were you filled with the Holy Spirit in that moment? I'm like, no, stop it. Too soon. You're my helper. She is my helper. But it's all striving to be like our Savior, Jesus. I'm going to end there. I have to end there because I'm just going to go in circles now. Because my brain is boggled as well, as much as yours might be. Mine is too. And it's never too late. Until we breathe our last breath, it's never too late to turn back to him. It's never too late to become holy as he is holy. So can I pray for us? I think we're just going to end there. Because I'm tired now. I'm tireder than I thought I would be. Father, thank you for this amazing time together so far. Thank you that you are holy God. Lord, you desire us to have no other gods besides you, to serve no other idols beside you, to not take your name in vain, and to not neglect the Sabbath. And Lord, in those first four of the Ten Commandments are all about your holiness, actually. Lord, right now, as our hearts are maybe a bit smashed by the word, can we ask you, just your Spirit, just to come and rest on every single heart and mind that wants you to impact them. Lord, that you will do only what your Spirit can do. Just fill with peace, renewed faith. And wherever we need to adjust, Lord, help us in this moment to see those adjustments that we need to make, so that we can become holy as you are holy. For those vices that might be holding us, for those hard attitudes that might be not leaving, whether it's a physical thing, whether it's a mental thing, whether it's a pain thing, whether it's an unforgiveness thing, Lord, could we ask your Spirit just to come and be holy in our lives in this moment so we could become more like you. Lord, that there'd be so much life flowing out of us, Lord. Your word talks about the streams of living water that will bubble up within us and just flow out of us, Lord. We love you, Lord. And maybe where you are, just all of us are in a different place with our relationship with him. Just if you want to call out to him, if you want to do business with him, just spend a few moments. Just, Lord, here I am, or whatever it is. Lord, I want to do this for you. I want you to shape this in me. Lord, I want to be separate from sin and the things of this world that go strangely dim. Lord, I want to be self-sufficient in you. I don't want to cling on to things that won't bring me life. And Lord, as the prayers go out, Lord, how amazing are you that you can hear every single one and answer them at the same time. And just as we're praying and contemplating, I have to throw this out. I don't know everybody here, but if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, in other words, if you've never got to that place where you've gone, Jesus, I believe that you died for me because I'm a sinner. I believe that you rose again. I believe the resurrection. I believe that I am destined for an eternity in hell because I am a sinner and I don't deserve a holy God being a part of my life. But I want to. I want to make a decision for you tonight. Jesus said when he walked this earth, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that he is Christ, salvation comes, forgiveness comes. And so I don't know if there's anyone like that here tonight, but could I say this to you? It's the most amazing, scary decision that you'll ever make. Your life will probably go worse because the world we live in doesn't like Jesus. But you'll have peace like you've never had before. You'll know the personal, this holy God personally. He'll start speaking to you. He'll start encouraging you. You'll become part of his family. Doesn't mean your relationship problems will go away. Doesn't mean that your financial problems will go away necessarily. Doesn't mean any of that. But what it does mean is once you were in darkness and now you'll be in light. Once you were deaf but now you can hear. It means that you've jumped from you a new creation. It's like what Petty was saying, a new creation in Christ. So I don't know if that is you. Could I ask you to do this? Just believe in your heart, confessing with the mouth, just saying, Jesus, I believe you. Please forgive me. I want to live for you from this moment forth. And if you've done that tonight for the first time, can you just tell someone before you leave? Just say, hey man, I committed my life to Jesus. I just want to tell you. Brace yourself for this one. This one is quite a good one.
I see so many of us holding so tight onto the hurts and disappointments of the past. You have conditioned yourself to walk with the trauma. I feel God is saying, I want to heal you. And you need to let go of the tight grasp you have on the nails of silent pain and suffering. Grab hold of his hand. It's like the room in the back of the house, filled with the clutter that is not needed and weighing you down. those suicidal thoughts of self-harm. God loves you so dearly. Let the Holy Spirit come and shine His light and heal you. You don't need to do this on your own. Let go and let God.
Amazing. Yo, that's a very specific word. And so, can I just say this? If you are in a very dark place, and you are even thinking of taking your own life, can I just say this? I was once there. In that moment, I almost did it. The devil stole my everything. He stole my joy in that moment, and I almost did it. It was a terrible, terrible, terrible place. I was in a terrible place, and I couldn't make. Yeah, my head was all over the place. But there was a person who saw me. In those days, we didn't have cell phones. It was so long ago. I was at a tiki box phoning my parents, who were living in Durban, to say goodbye to them. And so I was on the side of the road by one of the petrol stations, and one of my friends drove past and saw I wasn't lacquer, I wasn't anymore. And they stopped, forced me in the car, locked me in a room, and got me back to Durban, and I got some help, and the Lord started working on me. And so it's a very scary place to be, but I realized this one thing. And man, if I'd done that, I would not have had the privilege of meeting you guys and being a part of this family. Would never see my wife, would never see my kids, never been able to live out what God had planned for my life. And so, as an encouragement to you, if you are in that place, you don't have to be there by yourself. You don't have to fight that thing by yourself. You don't have to. I'm not embarrassed to tell people. It's just one of those moments in my life where the devil almost won, but he didn't. So Jesus gets the victory. And it made me a stronger person. It gave me empathy and sympathy for those who are going through it. And so if that is you, please, I don't want to call you out. It's a very sensitive, I realize it's very sensitive. But come and speak to one of us, whoever you feel comfortable with. And we will try to walk with you and encourage you as best as we can in the Lord to see you come through into life. Can I ask you to do that? It's just, there's no frown. There's no judgment. Sometimes it's part of life. But you don't have to do it by yourself. So we're going to end there. Father, just for those that you'll give them courage, that they won't leave here in a dark place. They'll leave here in a place of life and light and joy, at least starting in that direction. And so, Lord, we want to thank you for everything you've done tonight. And even as we fellowship one to another now, that you'll encourage us into this week. For those who are struggling in their workplace and in business, Lord, that you'll go before them this week. Lord, this week will be a week of like a Sabbath week for them, Lord, that they'll just, things will fall into place, that there'll be favor, Father, for those struggling to find you in their quiet places and quiet times, Lord, that there'll just be such a freedom this week, Lord, that this holy God that we spoke about will just break into our everyday lives this week, and that you'll take us deeper and further into your presence, Father God. And so we love these moments, and we thank you in Jesus' name.